I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about God has been gracious. We're going to be taking a look at a couple passages of Scripture, one coming from the Old Testament, one coming from the New Testament, and they both say almost the exact same thing. One of the passages of Scripture comes from Genesis, and it's the story of Jacob when he goes to meet his brother Esau after being separated from him for a while. He says this thing. He says, God has been gracious to me and I have all that I need. So he's being generous with Esau. Then we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul says almost the same thing, that God is able to make all grace abound to us, having all sufficiency in all things. We can abound to every good work. Some versions of that verse say that we would have all that we need. God's grace is able to abound to us, so that we have all that we need. So we're going to be taking communion over these scriptures today, just as a time of gratitude for his grace and also just receiving these promises from him today. So why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance, making it active and relevant and alive today, right now, in this present moment. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. And the Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until we prove the death. So in a way, communion is like this activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to pull his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the cracker and the juice, something that we can release our faith into that helps us to remember and not forget. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, that deep honor and respect and reverence and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus, all that he was willing to go through to give us life, to connect us back to God, and all that God was willing to do, that he loved us so much, he was willing to send his one and only son. So the process that we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe physical exercise is one of the greatest ways for us to practice exercising our faith, to receive this grace by faith, and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to get that flowing through us, we can apply those same principles into every other area of our lives. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him up from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. Are we making today a masterpiece? How are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God. Our relationship with God, though, has got to be brought down into today. It's got to impact today, the things that we do, the decisions we make, the things that we speak, the things that we're thinking about. It's got to impact today. And that's what we talk about, executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these fundamentals today. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. It has to happen every day. And this is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. So to take our position in the light, we're going to take our position in humility today. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble that are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves. Stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, putting excess pressure on ourselves. And we're going to let that same love and grace and forgiveness flow through us to other people, giving them the same grace and love God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrong, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, one of the greatest expressions of faith. And I'm not just going to think about it. We're going to embody gratitude. We're going to physically express it into the world. We're going to speak it. We're going to write it. We're going to feel that gratitude and praise in our body. We're going to take our position and we're going to receive this grace by faith. And in the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus because he was worthy. He was deserving of it. And we get this amazing opportunity that we get to be in him today. So this day today, we've got access to his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his kingdom, his purpose. We become part of his family, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time, his finances, you name it. It's all in there in the light. We got to learn to receive this from him. Got to get positioned in the light. And then we're going to start to magnify it, our second fundamental, so that this flows at a greater level through us. So I like to think of this. We got the light switch first, getting positioned in the light. That's the on-off switch. But the magnification, this is like the dimmer switch. We can turn up or we can turn down the brightness of this light. To magnify the light, we're going to make it brighter. We're going to make it bigger and greater and brighter. We're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all those things through us. And to magnify, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I like to think of it as meditation. What are the things that I'm consistently meditating on? And I think of meditation, I think of repetition, consistent thought patterns, consistent speech patterns, consistent behaviors. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. We can magnify and give his word a higher place and priority in our lives, to be thinking about it and talking about it, rolling it over on the inside, to magnify his unfailing love and his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got right standing with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We've got peace with him today. We could magnify every good thing that he put within us. Whatever is lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. All the things that are going well and all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it. He's going to see it through. We can rest in that. The more we magnify this, the more this new covenant gets established in our hearts. We begin to understand it, and it begins to flow more through our lives. But this is not denying that there's issues and problems. It's choosing to bring them into the light, and we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. But it does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting and complaining, magnifying the size of the issues and problems, rather than resting and trusting in God. Two different ways of life, trying to figure it all out ourselves versus resting and trusting in God. Two different ways. And that's where we're going to recognize those symptoms. When we're in darkness, we're positioned in it or magnifying darkness. There might be the tendency to retaliate at people or snap at people. Maybe we withhold good things that we know to do because they did something that we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And none of those are the way of the unconditional love and grace that God has given us. We're supposed to be receiving that from him and letting that flow through us to other people. So in the darkness, you'll feel this feeling of just heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you on the inside. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just begins to suck all the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're in dread of things happening in the future. There's confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. Because when we're in the darkness, we can't see. You get stuck in these vicious cycles and bad patterns that just seem to keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. Nothing's missing. Nothing's lacking. There's this fullness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. When we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. You feel your energy levels rise up. The faith and the courage and the confidence begin to rise up. And you'll feel that peace and joy and love and spirit and power and all these things begin to flow through you. His mind and wisdom. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. He just begins to effortlessly and beautifully set us free. Now, if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. We were just talking last night on our partner's Zoom about the importance of when you recognize you're off track. One of the most important things is just turning around, turning it around quickly, and don't continue to go in the wrong direction. Once you recognize it, let's turn around. Because life is throwing stuff at us every single day, trying to pull us out of position, trying to get us to magnify the wrong things. And if we do get off track, we recognize those symptoms. And then we turn it around. How do we do that? We start with humbling ourselves. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. I'm off track right now. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to reconcile with another person, we need to say we're sorry. Whatever we got to do to get that peace in those relationships. We take those steps and then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And that what he put within us is more than enough to handle whatever's coming our way today. And immediately you'll feel that shift on the inside. The weight will lift off you. Your energy levels will rise up. You'll feel the peace and the joy and the love and that grace just begin to flow through you again. It's a beautiful thing. And then we got to stay tuned in today. In his grace, God's being gracious to us. One of the the gifts of grace, as he's trying to lead us and guide us and teach us and train us, even when we don't feel like we're deserving, even when we feel like we've missed it, he still keeps doing this for us. One of my favorite ways to tune into him is with a journal before bed. I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. And then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are the ways I saw God showing up today? And then it's good to examine those symptoms. How was my positioning? What was I magnifying? Any areas I got off track? Those would be areas to bring to God so that hopefully we don't go more than a day ever without making some adjustments and turning it back around. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just reflect back over the day. Think about the things I was learning. Think about the ways I saw him showing up. And just begin to write down whatever comes into my mind. It's very important to get it out of our minds and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget all that he's up to. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day as he's navigating us through the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take a minute or two to slow down and connect with him. Get powered up in him again. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting ahead of God. I would ask him for his leading and direction, but I wouldn't wait for him to show me. And I would just do whatever I thought was best. But I learned, I don't want to do what I think is best. I want to do what you say is best, Lord. And so I've learned to wait. What do I know to do today? What are the things I know to get done today? And usually there's plenty to do today. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I was getting behind God in those areas. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. First thing in the morning, we're going to get connected to him. Start praising and thanking him. Start magnifying him, connecting with him through his word. And then we're going to walk out that plan together in partnership today. With a willing heart, with a good attitude, and full confidence that he's right there with us every step of the way. Relying and trusting on him to help us fulfill those things. And when we get to that place of that confident faith, this grace begins to flow through us. And when his grace begins to flow, he begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So speaking of grace, let's take a look at these scriptures today. The first one coming from the Old Testament, early on in the Bible, Genesis chapter 33. Jacob, if you remember the story of Jacob, Jacob has deceived his brother Esau. He's stolen his birthright. He's stolen his brother's blessing that was given from their father Isaac. And now Esau wants to kill Jacob. And so Jacob's parents, they send him away to his mother's relatives to go find a wife. And on the way, God makes this promise to Jacob. Says, you know what? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to be with you in everything that you do. And Jacob goes on his way. God begins to prosper him over time. It doesn't happen immediately. Over time, God begins to prosper him. And then finally, God tells him it's time to go back. It's been 20 years later. And now Jacob has grown incredibly prosperous. He's got herds and flocks and servants and wives and children. God has been gracious to him. But he's scared to go meet his brother Esau. Because the last time he saw Esau, Esau wanted to kill him. And so Jacob begins to send all these gifts and presents ahead of him to his brother Esau to hopefully pacify Esau's anger before Jacob finally gets there. And when Jacob finally gets there, Esau doesn't have the reaction he was expecting. Esau runs and greets him and is grateful to see him. And Esau asks, why did you send all these gifts? He said, I don't need them. I've got more than enough. And Jacob says, please accept my gift that was brought to you because God has been gracious to me and I have all that I need. So God was gracious to Jacob. Now, did it happen overnight? No, this is over the course of 20 years of Jacob walking with God. God was gracious to him, but it was happened over a course of time. Now, we're going to see one of the principles of the Bible. God is the same. He never changes. The Apostle Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace. This is the Amplified version. All grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. Same thing. The Apostle Paul is telling us the same thing that Jacob experienced here. He never changes. He's gracious to us. Now, sometimes grace takes a little time to work its way through. In the case of Jacob, it was over the course of 20 years. Sometimes it takes a little time, but this is what God is up to in our lives. So we're going to take communion over this just as a time of gratitude and us receiving this from him. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you. To have you in our lives, we thank you for your graciousness, that you are kind and generous and patient with us, and you treat us better than we deserve. I thank you that you are gracious to us, and that results in us having all that we need. That you're able to make all grace abound to us, having all sufficiency in all things and all times. We can abound to every good work. We're just receiving these promises from you today. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." They said, "Take it. Receive it," that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this new covenant with God, this personal relationship with him. And in this new covenant, he is gracious to us. Father, we just thank you for this cup and what it represents, and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, let's talk about some health and fitness stuff. So we talk about physical exercise as a way for us to practice applying our faith, receiving this grace from God. And one of the things I want you to think about, we talk about in our daily communion workouts. If you don't have the workout, if you go to the abundantlifetrainingcenter.com and you get on our email list, the daily communion emails that go out also have a workout attached to them. And in that workout, we talk about one of the things is to make our movement beautiful. And one of the things I want you to think about is people think about weightlifting or different exercises that they're doing. The goal is just to do more and more. And yes, the goal is to increase our capacity to be able to do more over time. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the goal is to train your body to be able to do more and to handle more while being totally under control and making it look beautiful and graceful. How much can you do where it looks totally beautiful and graceful? That's the goal. Increase that level. Increase that amount. Because sometimes people get into the mode of working out where they're trying to force it to happen. It gets kind of ugly looking. What's the amount that you can do? And increasing our capacity over time. What can you do gracefully and beautifully? I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.